This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And now the fun begins.
Does it?
Looking at...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I like when he has to play the host with the two of us.
I am with two of the greatest hosts in modern sports history, and I feel like some little nebbish, trying to...
This is good for you. It's a learning exercise.
I can't do it, because I was somewhere earlier, and I heard you when the handoff came.
Oh, that was a dicey handoff, by the way. I mean, that was not one of our better moments as anchors.
I will say,
Paul,
I mean, it was like, here's what happens when you upgrade, There's just diddling about, and then the voice of the SEC comes in.
But it was like, Arthur Pops... conducting the Boston Arthur Fiedler conducting the Boston Pops, and we're in Beethoven's Fifth. Beethoven, that's what I think when I see you. So I can't do Joe Tessitore.
But you are the pillar of the network, and you have been since August 14th of 2014.
Oh, there we go.
Can we get that in writing?
Well, yes, in your next contract, that'll be in the writer. You are to be referred to as the pillar of the network by which the network stands on.
We wouldn't be standing without you.
We are back.
True.
Although this is the most dynamic relationship in all of SEC Network. The two of you and the energy you bring to each other. I feel very bad that I'm acting as like the Hoover Dam here, the great wall between the two of you.
I honestly don't like to be this separated from Paul.
I know
but,
that.
But here's the reality. They do this to us on sets.
As they say, it's early in the evening.
Yeah. Check back in us later. Okay, so here's the other thing. A lot of times you notice, and people may realize this, when we're on SEC Nation, Paul is at the far end from me. And
that's
mainly
thing.
Because if we were to just be next to each other, we'd be making jokes
off the
entire
rails.
Time. We wouldn't get anything done.
Yes.
So that's purposeful. There are reasons behind that.
Very much so. Very much. We got in a lot of trouble.
There's a specific reason for that.
What? Absolutely is.
Because when you started, you were taking over for such epic hosts. And
I still have yet to even begin to fill his shoes.
The foolish feeling was that, Paul, you've done this, so maybe you can make eye contact with Laura. And after about the 5 minutes into the first show, she's no longer looking at me.
Yeah, so like,
she doesn't need
this.
My help.
I don't need this.
I always need your help.
How's day one been for you?
Day one's been great.
Yeah.
Being here, especially somebody asked me earlier, like the idea that you two are here just gives this.
Yeah, but this means the world to the two of us. We've talked about this today. I mean, you're off to the NFL and every show here. I'm doing the silliest stuff. Lord knows what I'm ending up on
you're
TV
number
doing.
One in the ratings in your time slot.
For making
Bingo.
Fun of people playing mini golf?
Yeah.
I mean, what it is, come on.
Works out great.
But
Joe,
to our core,
number
this
one,
is like.
That's all that matters at ABC.
This is our home, like, right? I mean, to our core, this is our ground.
They don't have that many number one shows. Take my word for it.
But the SEC is. It's our heart and soul. I started coming to this event in 2008 as a sophomore in college at Florida. I was a nervous wreck. It was my job to help gather interviews on Radio Row for Steve Russell from AM 850, who I came with.
What a great shout out for Steve Russell at
AM
850.
He's the reason why I have this job. And just to compare what's happened over that time and to look back.
Was that the year Tebow was asked if he was still a virgin?
Was the year after.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And you and I were still working that thing.
Yeah. Then. Well, you guys would be able to answer that.
But my introduction to the SEC Network was with this gentleman. It wasn't on the SEC Network.
We weren't even on the SEC Network then. That was when 1,500 people crowded behind the set because it was when Johnny Manziel was kicked out of the Manning Passing Academy.
Oh, that's right.
And he got kicked out of the Manning Passing Academy, and then he was brought down to Hoover, and the whole world wanted to hear from Johnny Manziel because he was accused of drinking. Yeah. Was the accusation. Drink. Terrible. I mean, think of what we're talking about when you think of the career arc of Johnny Manziel at this point. And Paul didn't realize we were live on SportsCenter, and Manziel is right here. He's right to your back.
I saw him.
And Paul takes one of his big swings where he's destructive and opinionated and just crushing Manziel. And Manziel literally is 2 feet away from you, about to come on the set live, where I have to now conduct an interview with him. I want to thank you for that, T.O.
Well, it was my first big assignment on ESPN. I had just been hired. I hadn't even moved yet. I was still in Birmingham.
9 years ago.
Yeah, and
probably still a lot.
You know, I hate to break it to you, Joe.
Look at him. Almost a decade here.
I wasn't friends with Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
I mean, I had to make a name for myself.
Well, you made a name for yourself, that's for sure.
And the funniest thing is I'm walking off the set because you had an exclusive with Johnny. All, you know, 1,500 people.
Oh, it was as many people as I've ever seen at SEC Media Days.
I stuck my hand out and I said, "Good to see you, Johnny." He looked at me like, "Get your hand away from me."
There's no doubt.
I'm shaking that hand.
It was nuts.
Paul, you know, we spoke earlier after we heard from Greg Sankey, but then we got rushed into the next thing because Brian Kelly was coming up right after that. I'm curious, as you've had more time to think through what Sankey said, what's really sticking out to you? Because you brought up a really good point in our commercial break about how the college football playoff is really dictating all of this, and everyone's kind of waiting and seeing when they expand to figure out how these other things are going to trickle down with conferences.
Well, you remember in Destin, everybody was, you know, what's going to happen? When are we going to 9 games? You can't go to 9 games right now until you know what the CFP is doing.
Sure.
Right? So I think that was one. There were so many takeaways. I mean, I don't need to explain myself to you guys, but I mean, I was just there's still a little bitterness from Sankey about the way he was treated. I mean, think about this. Oklahoma and Texas joined the SEC. Sankey gets blasted by everybody, including A&M people, the first day.
Right.
Don't forget that. We thought there might be some revolt by 3 or 4 schools. And then all these other commissioners blame Sankey. Kevin Warren gets a phone call. I think he's at Wimbledon or something.
Right.
And everybody's praising what a great job Kevin Warren's doing. I mean, he's the comeback kid.
Yeah, but it's interesting, and to Laura's point of how it all links up to the CFP and where the playoff and the postseason is going further. Had everybody simply just agreed to a plan that was, you could make a very cogent argument for and was set and had all the answers, we would most likely not be dealing with this musical chairs and who's going to be left without a seat.
Well, you've heard the phrase karma is a...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We heard a few of those phrases today.
Anything surprise you guys today?
I was surprised at how much Brian Kelly was asked about Notre Dame. And maybe I shouldn't have been surprised by that, but I would have thought he would have been asked more about his actual team, and there's so many questions around LSU. He answered those questions, I thought, really well, because he didn't dwell enough on Notre Dame to make LSU people mad, but he didn't just wash right over Notre Dame and make Notre Dame people mad.
He said something about he'd been working on a slice the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he said that.
Is that sliced bread from the Jimbo Fisher story? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Earlier, somebody was asking me song lyrics from some current song, and I'm like, golly, all I ever listen to is James Taylor from the 1970s. I got nothing for you. But I felt that way as I'm listening and talking about the slice. I don't know what anyone's talking about.
I've seen fire and
what did you think of? What did you think of the way he came across in terms of how he put forth his brand on day one?
The only thing that matters in our industry, and that's on television.
Mm-hmm.
So he came across very well.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was I've known the guy since like covering him at Cincinnati and that build up and then the transition with Notre Dame.
You weren't on the John Kerry campaign with him?
I was not on the John Kerry campaign. Although Brian Kelly and his Boston political background, I know a lot of guys like him. But in all the different iterations of it, yes, exactly. Yeah. I thought this was actually the most relaxed and stress-free version of BK that I've seen in many, many years. In many years.
I like him.
I do, too. And as much as people talk about the fit, we said this after we heard from him, he's going to get those questions. If he wins, the fit doesn't matter.
The fit is the stupidest thing, isn't it?
That's the fit, right?
Yeah. W's are the fit.
Get a coach who's going to win.
How is Les Miles a fit for anywhere in the world?
That's
well,
right.
You know, and I get it. You know, Louisiana people, as they should be, and LSU people in general, very passionate about their state. I thought he answered those questions really well. He understands he's got to build blockades up around Louisiana so that those guys are not getting out, so that, you know, Nick Saban can't go and recruit this great talent from these – talent-rich schools, talent-rich high schools in Louisiana. He answered that really well. He was even he's rattling off, you know, Shreveport and all these names of
high school football coaches. Yeah,
right, exactly.
What street of high school is on?
I'm coming to you. But no, I liked him. Now I will say, admittedly, I was up on Radio Row. I did not see Lane Kiffin at the podium. How did he do? And you just had him up here as well. What's your assessment of how he's handling it?
I didn't watch him up there because I knew he was going to. I'd already seen him.
Yeah.
I was anchoring while he was up there, so we were wrapping around it. You know, listen, the Lane of years past is not quite the Lane you have now. He was a little more thoughtful. He's a little more relaxed. He talked about NIL. He talked about boosters needing to get in the way, guardrails needing to be there. He had to answer two Nick Saban questions.
Always.
You know, talked about the transfers with his team. The one thing he did discuss that got Tim Tebow's attention is saying, you know, he wasn't wearing a tie. Why do we need to wear ties? Just because we've always worn ties?
Well, now you've given Tim an excuse
Tim
to never
wear a
tie.
Tie.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, short sleeves today out of Tebow, by the way.
Always. I know that shirt. You want to know why he wasn't wearing a tie? I found out this little piece of information. As the intrepid reporter that I am, I was trying to get over here to Radio Row right when Kiffin and his entourage were coming around the corner trying to come into this building. And I said, well, how are you feeling about your talk here? And he said, well, I'm actually a little nervous because I'm not wearing a tie. I'm like, well, why aren't you wearing a tie? And he said, well, he did hot yoga this morning and he was sweating too bad. So he was putting the tie on. It was making him sweat. So he said, just forget it. I don't want to be up there sweaty. I would rather not wear the tie than be sweating.
Yeah, you can't go hot yoga right to the shower, right to the tie. Everybody knows that.
I'm going to dispute that hot yoga story.
Well, why is that? Why?
Because I saw Kiffin before he came up here.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And I was doing hot yoga.
Yeah, you were doing hot yoga, sure.
Yeah. And you put your tie on. But then again, you're cold.
You're the walking poster
you're
for hot yoga.
You're always cold, though, Paul.
He is.
So
I am wearing, I frankly am moving toward the no time. I haven't quite got there yet. But
yeah, loosen it up a little bit.
I respect the organization.
This time, when you get to this week, I feel like your year, like all of our years start changing, but especially for you. Yeah. Now here comes the on-ramp onto the super highway for you here, right? How has your summer been to this point? You feeling good? You're ready for it all?
I spent most of it on the East Coast.
You were summering on the East Coast?
My phone must not ring.
Is he not in my contacts any longer?
I was not on the vineyard.
You were not on the vineyard, yeah.
I let Barack and Michelle have our house this summer.
Sure, yeah.
Wow. This has gotten...
But I spent a lot of time up there, most of the time. And
you did some New York?
I did New York and D.C.
Oh, that's very nice. You took in some Broadway shows?
No.
Did you have any good meals? You want to tell us about?
I had a great meal in New York.
Yeah?
At Elio's.
Elio's?
Elio. I told my wife this story the other day. I said, Joe and I are in New York.
No.
And I said,
how dare you?
E-L-I-O.
And I said, Linda, I'm sitting there. It was right after I was with Brian.
Oh,
I can't take this guy.
I'm at a place and somebody said,
I'm going to guess what he got on the menu.
Do you want some cheese? And I said, I'll have the
don't
mozzarella.
He goes,
he grabbed
mozzarella.
He said, what are you doing?
Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, the Rutledges come over the house a lot when we do pizza in the backyard. So they're,
we're pseudo-Italian.
You know,
I thought it was Elio's. I'm sorry.
How dare you? You have actually told me about Elio's, too.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I had the chicken.
Now, you know I have an uncle with that name. Have we ever discussed that?
Elio?
My mother's youngest brother is a
is he the one
Eligio. We call him Elio.
Ate at that time?
No, that's a different relative. That's a different relative. The most you've ever had to eat, ever.
You know,
we're going out to dinner tonight, so I have to get ready for having a meal with Paul. Because dinner with Paul.
When you have a meal with Paul, you know he's going to get a salad and maybe a shrimp cocktail.
Two bites.
If he's feeling really wild and crazy.
I took Joe to
please, I want this to continue. Please give us the rundown of a typical Paul out to dinner order.
Yeah, correct me where I go astray here, but Paul will get a salad and then he will get a potential shrimp cocktail. I hope that's on the menu tonight.
I might get a shrimp cocktail at an Italian.
Well, no, we're going out for seafood tonight.
We're going
out for a nice southern seafood. It's actually Laura's favorite restaurant in Atlanta where we're going out to dinner tonight.
Really.
Yeah,
we're going,
yeah, it's a great one.
I don't want to put it out there publicly because I worry about people who don't like you showing up. So
yeah,
we're
that's
just
true. There is a good piece of bread on the menu.
That's so like 2021.
Then, no.
Everyone loves you now.
That's the test of time right there.
We went to a place last year in Birmingham.
Oh, that was a very nice dinner
we had.
This
place was really good.
It's our tradition to go out first night of SEC.
It was an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, it's excellent. I did enjoy that.
Joe said, okay. I'm looking
yeah,
at
yeah.
like...
Yeah, yeah. How about, right. describe what it's like to go to dinner with him, because that's a different story. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that night in somewhere...
We're going to have some nice, good football talks tonight.
Was.
Well, it was where we went last year.
In Connecticut. We were near the coast.
Well, no, Connecticut, I took you to dinner at Ludall's in New Haven, and you had the first time you had arancini, Sicilian rice balls stuffed. You also had the shrimp wrapped in prosciutto with mozzarella and braised asparagus.
Scallops. Was Bartolomeo with us that night?
Oh, we went there that night, too.
Now, that's a different story.
Now, that story most cannot go on air.
The funniest
no,
night
that's, that story a lot can't go on air. That wasn't until about 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning.
He is still coaching, of course, in the Big Ten.
Right.
If I told the story, he'd be fired by the end of the day.
That was. No, that's a stretch, but it was an
extreme.
The night was extreme.
You know what? Paul has honestly been extreme from start to finish today, and it's been amazing.
He is.
He's been stirring the pot all day long.
He doesn't care anymore.
No, it's great. It's fantastic.
There are no rules.
We appreciate it. No rules, right.
It's back to the beginning.
It's the old Paul.
Yeah,
it's
I like the old Paul.
Blank and vinegar, and here we go.
If you don't like the old Paul, then get out.
You said we went to the commercial 5 minutes ago.
Oh, did we?
Oh, sorry.
Did we?
No, there were
still. Well, listen, I'm glad that everyone heard our eating plans. I'm sure everyone's really interested in that.
I am.
Saban tomorrow.
Saban, is he here tomorrow?
He is.
Saban tomorrow.
Starts it off, yep.
Give me the list of go ahead, your predicted order of questions and the questions that come his way.
I mean, obviously, someone's going to ask him about the Jimbo thing.
No. Jimbo's coming.
He will rise above that. Oh, they're trying to tell us to take a commercial break.
Well, are they really?
Who
you know
are
what?
You?
This in TV, in TV.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This
that's
means
your
commercial break.
It's a 16-minute block, and I'm not sure we've really accomplished anything. I'm not
goodness.
Sure about that.
What are they going to do?
Elio's, you had the asparagus with artichokes as your appetizer. You definitely had that. And you had the spaghettini sugo di carne.
I think Matt
Lauer. No, he didn't.
No, because it has meat in it. You wouldn't have had that.
No.
You had the spaghettini primavera.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
Because it's got vegetables. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back to the Feinbaum Show brought to you by Regions. We're kicking off the college football season here on this 18th day of July. The season not here yet. Although there are a lot of people in this building today that wish it was. Joining us now, Michael Wayne Bratton, the host of the SEC podcast. We have talked to you many, many times. It's good to get you out of your basement.
No doubt. And, Paul, every time I come on with you, the goal is to not embarrass myself, yet I do it every time. So I'm looking forward to what you'll get out of me this time.
Well, that is certainly our goal, is to embarrass you again. So let's think of ways we can embarrass you. All kidding aside, I realize you're busy. People think that we're just all sitting here watching this, and people like me are. But guys like you have to do your job, and that's to grab people for interviews, and that's what this is about, right?
Yeah, no doubt. But how about this? I bet I'm the only one here in this entire event that's got Kentucky going to finish fifth in the SEC East this fall, And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Will Levis gets all this hype, yet I don't think, just because one outlet has him as the first overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft, I don't think he's near that caliber. I wouldn't. If he was a first-round pick, Paul, he would have declared for the draft already.
That's a good point. I was with Greg McElroy earlier up here when we were about to kick the whole thing off, and they were talking about him in terms of the Heisman, and I said, to win the Heisman...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You gotta have a big November. You have to be in position. So I agree with you. I don't see that happening.
And to get there, they're gonna have to win at Florida, at Tennessee, of course, hosting Georgia. I think Kentucky's a big underdog in all those games. And we haven't even talked about South Carolina, which I know they've owned lately, but I think the improvements the Gamecocks have made make them a dangerous team in the East. And Mississippi State and Ole Miss, two teams that if you were to tell me Kentucky's gonna beat both those teams, I'd call you a liar.
Well, I've been called a liar. Rather not be called one today, but just for the sake of argument, let's go through the East a little bit and give us some thoughts on how you think it is going to go, since you've already alluded to who you have at fifth.
Well, anyone that doesn't have Georgia first in the East, they don't deserve at this event. So, of course, we got the Bulldogs number one. But number two, I'm going Florida Gators, 2 years removed from the SEC championship. Not the Billy Napier era.
That's a legitimate hot take there.
Oh, no doubt. But I love Anthony Richardson. I think he's going to be the breakout star in the SEC, and it all starts with the quarterback position. And, again, you host Kentucky. They beat Tennessee every time they play them. I'm not going to pick Tennessee over Florida. I don't care where that game's played.
Wow.
And I think they've got – if you were to line up Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida's rosters, I think Florida's got as much talent as any of them.
Well, then why do you think people in Knoxville are so enthusiastic about what they have, or is that just former superpower trying to get back?
No, because I do believe in what Josh Heupel's doing in his offense and Hendon Hooker. I think, we're talking great pieces. But, again, they have to play Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. I think they'll lose all three of those games. I don't think that's a stunning take. But the offense is legit in Tennessee, and I believe the progression of that program is going to be great with Josh Heupel leading that charge. But, again, I don't think they're anywhere close to the overall roster of the Florida Gators. And if they drop that game in Neyland Stadium, there's no way Tennessee is going to finish second.
Let's look at the other side, Michael, since I like where you're going. And the one thing I admire about you, you give hot takes like a serial killer. Nobody sees them coming, and that's the problem with hot takes. Not to criticize anybody that I work with at ESPN, but it's the subtle dagger in the heart hot take that I'm a big fan of. Keep going.
All right, how about this one, Paul? Everybody's got A&M as two in the West, or even some people, maybe they're dumb enough to not pick Alabama. But, of course, we got Alabama number one. But I like Arkansas number two in the West.
Okay.
And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that better coaching staff, better quarterback, better offensive line. Jimbo Fisher gets touted as this quarterback guru. The last quarterback he had that he coached up was Jameis Winston. That was nearly a decade ago. And I loved what Kellen Mond did, but he had 3 years with him, and he never got any better. I thought he was better as a sophomore than he was as a senior. I don't care what the record was during the COVID year. We need to stop pointing to the COVID year, saying we went 9-1. It's every other year that seems to be the norm there in College Station, losing four games. I'm not saying A&M's going to lose four games again, but you stack them up against Arkansas. I like, again, Arkansas coordinators are better. The quarterback's better. The offensive line's better. I think Sam Pittman's a better coach than Jimbo Fisher.
Jamari Brams, let's book this guy again pretty quickly, because I think some of what he said today is going to get lost in the translation. We got a lot to talk about. We got Coach Strink waiting, so we'll bring him on. But let's talk to you next week. And let's blow some of these. You've said more today than anybody I've talked to, so you're definitely – I want to hear more.
I'm here all 4 days, so.
Thank you, Mike. We may be back with you Thursday then. We're coming right back with Elijah Drinkwitz of the University of Missouri.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are here at SEC Media Days. The first day is beginning to wind down. And I believe our next guest was the final speaker. Could be wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time. Coach Schrenk from Missouri. Coach, it's always good to see you. I remember running into you last year as I was coming down for the first time, and you were cracking wise on everything. I want you to be there for the next 50 years just for that reason. You are really a lot of fun to cover. So how's it going for you?
It's been pretty good. You know, they didn't give me any material this year. But last year they let me go last, and so I was able to save up all my cracks and go in on some people that, you know, it's kind of like they knew what they were doing and put Lane and I first to try to keep us out of trouble.
Lane was just here, and I've known Lane a long time, and he always blames me for some of his problems at Southern Cal. But
you called him Miley Cyrus, man.
I did, and he got fired that day.
I know the feeling.
But the thing that bothers me, though, Lane's gotten more cerebral. I mean, you you've got a greatest hits tape already developed, and I haven't seen any pullback from you.
So here's the deal, Paul. 17 years ago, I was a seventh grade football coach. So I'm the definition of living the dream. There's a Luke Combs song called Doing This, which
it's a great song, by the way.
What would you be doing if you weren't doing this? I would be coaching football at the high school level. I mean, my wife and I are still members of the Arkansas Teacher Retirement System, just in case. So, like, I'm not pulling back to become somebody I'm not. This is who I am. This is what I'm trying to do.
And I heard, and you're quoting right from the song, because I listened to it this morning when I was running, and I heard him explain the song recently, and you know, he explains it with a few F-bombs, which you have to respect.
Yeah.
But I think he said, if I remember correctly, because I didn't know anything about him. We had him on the show when he wrote the South on you, and he blew me away.
Yeah, he's incredible.
So it was during COVID. He couldn't get out there, and he started thinking about. So tell me more about your affinity for Luke Combs.
So, you know, Luke is an App State grad. And so when I was first at App State, that's when it was just when he was getting started. And
didn't
so
he try had to play there?
No, he didn't play there.
He didn't play.
But,
okay.
But he played. I mean, he got started his Friday nights in a band, drinking, liquor out of a red Solo cup, you know. And so got a chance to meet him, and he was always good to us after big wins, give us a call and a text message, and just have a tremendous respect. He's kind of like he's not like me. I mean, he's way more successful than I am, but he's living a dream, and he's still embracing who he is, and that's pretty awesome.
And in full disclosure, we had him on from – I was interviewing him from right here last year before the first game of the season. And I really didn't know who he was.
Well, you're an idiot then, Paul. I mean, Luke Combs, they say, is on the trajectory of Garth Brooks. I've seen him live in concert. He's an incredible storyteller. He's incredible. He makes a connection point with the fans, which is so critical. He's Southeastern Conference football, man.
No, and I started listening, and I've really gotten into it, and I find myself the song you mentioned going through my head, because I'm a failed songwriter too, like so many other writers, and it's just interesting to think about guys like that.
So here's my question for you, Paul, because this is why this song is so important to me. The guys who are making the decisions about the future of college football, if they weren't doing this, what would they be doing? I don't think they're worried about the future of college football. No. I think they're worried about getting the right programming on their TV station or making enough sales to make their bonuses. And is that what's in the best interest of us moving forward for college football? No. Is that what's in the best interest of student athletes? That's where my concern for the future of this game
is. Coach, I wonder, and I'll leave the TV executives out of the conversation just for my own future.
Absolutely.
But it's some of the other people. I mean, I don't know where they come from. And you've had to deal with them. I mean, you're on a college campus where you have to talk to everyone, A to Z. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just see them in airports and at events like this. And I mean, could these people, meet a payroll? Could they do anything other than what they're doing?
The answer
is no.
I don't know. But I know this. I know that college football is a great game. College athletics is a worthwhile venture, and it's going to take some work to get us back in the right direction. I don't know what that direction is, but I do know this. If we don't set a vision – fairly soon. People are making decisions in their own self-interest, which is fine. That's what they should be doing right now. But until we put a guardrails, until we put somebody in control, look, right now, there's no debate. Coach Saban is the greatest coach in college football right now. There's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying. He has been adamant about needing a college football commissioner for a long time. We need that now more than ever. We can keep complaining about NIL, and we can keep complaining about transfer portal, but until we set a direction and a vision for what we want college athletics to be, and college football specifically, then we're barking up the wrong tree. And so that's my contention.
But, Coach, I'm here to embrace what you're saying, not to debate you.
Yeah.
My argument back to that is we watched last year and through the national championship game the people that run college sports. They can't agree on anything, and they're not going to because they all have their fiefdoms, and that's the only thing they care about.
Yeah, and that's that could be one of the biggest problems moving forward with college sports. So,
except I mean, Greg Sankey talked about it earlier. I mean, he at least is on the transformation committee, trying to change.
He's trying to change.
Most of them aren't even doing that.
We're so fortunate for Greg to be our commissioner because I think he's been on a college campus before.
Yeah.
He understands the student athlete experience. He understands we have the best conference in college football, but we need everybody else to be on our team. So we think. We're very blessed to have him on our
as the problem is, and I won't ask you this question directly, but I'll answer my own question since for the sanctity of your future. But there are a lot of people in college administration that they, and I don't mean this as a shot at people who run neighborhood convenience stores, but they couldn't run a convenience store. Mm. They could not balance the books. They couldn't get the supply right, and they couldn't manage the staff. They are bureaucratic wonks.
Yeah, it's an interesting, precarious situation that we have. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't go after the TV executives. I'll keep from opining about.
Well, the TV executives work for public companies. And when you work for a Fortune 500 company, which the two major TV executives do here, you have one goal.
Yeah.
And that's to
revenue generation.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, but there's got to be people out there that say, okay.
There's some people at both networks that couldn't run the convenience store either. I will tell you that.
Well, all I'm saying is, what are the consistent core values that we believe in? And whether that's the fans, whether that's athletic administration, whether that's presidents of the universities, what are the common cores? I do believe that in the Supreme Court Alston case last year, they did state that conferences could decide what the rules for their conferences were going to be. And so I think they've put it back on the conferences to say, hey, you create the scenario, you create the rules, you create the things that you want to be governed by.
Oh, I was in Washington on Capitol Hill last week. And
good luck.
And I talked to a few people that are part of all this conversation, and there is no way that at least for a year that you could even hope that Congress could tackle something like this.
Look, I'm not trying to disparage the United States government. That's a whole nother issue. But we have a Democratic president, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic House of Representatives, and we aren't getting things through. So if we think that they're going to all of a sudden uniform and decide on NIL, we're absolutely crazy. So I don't know how there's any hope for a federal solution moving forward as of right now, unless maybe we could get Nick Saban to talk to his old buddy Joe Manchin. Maybe he's the key.
Well, he has talked to Joe Manchin, my best guess would be.
Yeah.
And the problem is that Manchin doesn't have a coalition up there.
No, have you heard of the song One Man Band by Old Dominion?
Yeah.
I kind of envision
What I've got the rest of the summer going on. I know you're coaching football, but if you would give me a call one day, I'm going to meet you at a country concert.
Yeah.
I want you to introduce me to some of these guys, because this is your knowledge of this industry, not the football industry.
Yeah.
We know that, but of the country music industry is quite
well. I tell you what, man, I really enjoy a little Eric Church too. I've been trying to learn his song "Hell of a View" on guitar and trying to play it.
Oh,
so
my goodness, I didn't know you were an artist.
Well, I'm not really an artist, but I can play the guitar.
Have you written songs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like you, a failed writer.
I wrote one with a real writer. And
how'd it go?
It was a blast.
Yeah.
I went up to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, one day before I left Alabama, and this guy was a very successful. He'd written a bunch of stuff for countless artists.
Really?
You would probably heard.
Have I heard the song? Is it your intro song on the show?
No, I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay.
I thought for sure Kenny Chesney was going to take it right
up
the charts, and he didn't do it. So you
Come
and
on,
I
Kenny.
Are going to see Luke Combs and see.
Yeah, see if we can get it done.
It could be a Luke Combs song.
It could be.
It was about somebody who took a chance and left a sure thing behind. And
was it your story?
Yeah, it really is.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Still hanging on by a thread.
Aren't we all?
By the way, opening next year at the Mercedes, what's the name of the stadium here?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Whatever it is. The new duo, right here.
Next year, we should, instead of doing this, we'll do a concert. I'll bring my guitar, you bring your song, and we'll make it work.
Forget Old Dominion. Forget Save It for a Rainy Day. How about us? Thank you, Coach. We need to continue.
Appreciate
this.
This
is the most fun I've had since I've been here. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are here at SEC Media Days after a very exciting conversation brought to you by Regions Bank. And it's great to have all of you here. And great to talk to Nick Suss again from the Clarion Ledger. We talk to Nick so often during the season and extended season this year in Omaha. I've talked to a couple of Ole Miss people. Even Kiffin made reference to the Ole Miss National Championship. It has to be one of the craziest stories you've ever covered.
Yeah, I didn't think they would be playing in a regional. I did not think they would make it to the tournament. They were the last team in, and they made the best of it. But, yeah, I had never quite experienced a run like that one.
Let's talk a little bit about Kiffin. And I think you have to separate, you know, the trolling, the Twitter game, the no-tie look and related to the fact the guy has done an amazing job. Talk a little about what he's accomplished and really where he can take this program.
Yeah, I think that so much of the conversation around Kiffin is talking about him with popcorn and golf balls and pennies and not as much about when he inherited this team. They hadn't been to a bowl in 4 years. They were coming off of pretty significant probation. They did not have very much depth at all at any position, and he figured out a way to, you know, build depth everywhere and create superstar talent everywhere. And he did that last year with Matt Corral and Sam Williams and Chance Campbell and guys that we've since seen go on to the NFL. And then this year with the transfer portal ads that they had at just about every position to try and rebuild that talent. Now it's his biggest challenge yet of trying to take a bunch of juniors and seniors who he's never coached before and figure out how to plug them in. But given the track record, you do have to be impressed with what he's been able to build.
And what happens now, though, because you lose Matt Corral, you lose a lot of really good players, but he's got so many new players in there. Is there a realistic way to look at this team?
I mean, realistically, it'd be weird if they didn't take a step back. You think that you lose this much talent off of one of the best teams in school history, it's natural to go from 10 wins to that 7-8-9 range again. But what's next is they have to figure out a way to create the chemistry they had last year. You lose all of this veteran leadership, all of this veteran talent. You get a lot of talent in, but can you point at anyone who they got in the transfer portal and say, this person is definitely better than the person he's replacing? Right now, that's hard to say with 4 weeks of spring and a couple of summer meetings. They're going to have to build that sort of trust, that sort of talent, and that sort of just production from all the guys at these new positions, because it's not easy to step in and be the next Matt Corral, be the next Sam Williams, all the way down the line to Jake Springer and Dean Leonard and Orlando Amana. With everybody they have to replace, it's a lot of talent.
Talking to Nick Suss here at Media Days. Nick, beyond Coach Kiffin, we started the day with Greg Sankey. By the time he got up there, I think most people were comfortable that he wasn't going to say very much. But that has not been the case the last 2 weeks. I mean, there were those 2 weeks ago that thought he might be announcing four new schools.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway with where we are right now on that front?
I think when you're Greg Sankey, it's easy to be on top. I mean, when you're the SEC, you are comfortable with the teams you have. People are coming to you. You're not coming to other people.
Right.
It's really easy to take the perspective of, well, this is where we're at because we've done so much. And I think that I wasn't surprised that he didn't come out and say this is a 24-team Super League. I think that you go out and say, yeah, we like Oklahoma and Texas better than USC and UCLA because those are the teams you've got. That's what you got to say.
And I want to stop you there because you know, you're a highly respected journalist, and a lot of people have jumped all over that. What's he supposed to say?
No, exactly. That's what you have to say. They're the people in your conference. You're not going to say, oh, man, I wish I had USC because they don't. They do have Oklahoma and Texas, and those are the teams they're building their future around at this point.
I don't want to minimize it, but have we, and I say we as journalists, reporters. Anyway, I'm going to have to save that question because I'm still thinking about the question. But anyway, it's a good question. Next time you're on, I'm going to ask you that question.
Nick, I'll hold you
thank
to that.
You very much.